log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa al-Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic Beliefs. Joining us in the studio today is our dear friend and guest speaker, Sheikh Murtada Karimi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Dear Sheikh, I welcome you and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sheikh. Today we will yet again dive into the question about the possible distortion and alteration of the Holy Quran in what has become a very extensive and elaborate discussion for us, dear Sheikh, thanks to you. And inshallah, we have benefited from these discussions. So today we will like to talk about whether or not these different recitations, they count as an alteration of the truth and alteration of the Holy Quran, and thus as it is a counterpoint to our belief that the Holy Quran is safe from all corruption. Last time, before we had to end the program, we mentioned that when the imams, the household of the Prophet, peace be upon them, they were asked about which recitation they should implement and recite, they were told that recite as the people recite. And some have taken this to mean that all of the recitations, they are correct. Now, dear Sheikh, please continue where you left off last time.
Sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Whether the differences in recitation of the Quran is a form of tahrif, distortion or not, we said that, first of all, the first answer is that, all these differences do not make much differences in the right meaning of the Quran. And so it cannot be kind of distortion. Rather, according to some, it's a miracle of the Quran that can be recited in different ways, and all the ways are correct in terms of the meaning. Second, we said that when we ponder over the concept of tahrif or distortion, there are two elements. One of them is that the intention, it is done intentionally. And second of all, those people who want to distort, they want to do a kind of corruption to change the meaning, which is not the case for reciters of the Quran. Rather, they were looking for the best recitation of the Quran. To
they
the
were
best
scholars
way.
Of yeah, Islam, researchers. Were,
exactly. Now, having said that, I would like to mention a couple of other points. First of all, we know that all the Muslims throughout the world, scholars and lay people, they are very sensitive about the distortion of the Quran. Imagine if a Quran is printed, lacking some words and some verses, you will see a great reaction of the people, the scholars. I think some years ago, a book, a so-called Quran, was published by an American publisher, and it was called Al-Furqan, omitting the verses about jihad. And then it caused a great reaction by Muslims all around the world.
Right.
So it shows the fact that throughout the history of Islam, all the Muslims were very, very sensitive toward the way the Quran is recited.
Very protective.
Exactly. And but when it comes to different recitations of the Quran, you cannot see any reaction by the Muslims. I mean, we have famous Egyptian reciters of the Quran. One of them recites Maliki Yawmiddin. The other recites Maliki Yawmiddin.
Right.
Do the Muslims give it a negative reaction? Oh, you are distorting the Quran? No. The same Muslims who react to that distorted version of the Quran, they receive these differences with enthusiasm. I mean, they look at it as a maybe positive, fact regarding the Quran. The fact that two reciters, they are reciting the Quran differently, but both the meanings are correct, and
right.
we can accept both. My point is that when we receive to the Muslims, they do not regard these, slight differences as a kind of distortion of the Quran. Rather, they would have reacted like they had reacted before.
Right.
And the last point that I would like to share is the fact that, and this is precise, and I would like ask the listeners to pay careful attention. I'm taking that from a narration from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, that إِنَّ الْقُرْآنَ وَاحِدْ نَزَلَ مِنْ عِنْدَ وَاحِدْ. Quran is one. It was revealed from one, referring to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was revealed by God. وَلَكِنَّ الْإِخْتِلَافِ يَجِيءُ مِنْ قِبَلِ الرُّوَاتِ. Difference comes from the narrators, referring to the reciters. I think this is a very profound narration from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, which gives us a very profound answer to this question of whether such differences in recitations of the Quran is a kind of distortion or not. The point is that what is revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is contained in the book of Quran that we have right now. So a book of Quran is within the access of all the people. This is the book that was revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
Is there any kind of distortion in this book? No. What is the problem? The problem is the way that we are going to recite the words.
Right.
I hope my point is clear. The point is that there is no distortion in the revealed book. I mean, the same copy is within my access and within all the Muslims all around the world, and even with the non-Muslims.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
To give an example that is more near, and of course, not to say that that is what the Quran is, just like a tool, maybe like also a weapon. You can either use this weapon to hunt animals, so you can feed yourself and your family, right? Or you can use it to harm other people. But it's the same tool. It hasn't changed, perhaps.
Yeah, but my point is slightly different from that example. Let me give you an example. Imagine that a tablet is discovered belonging to 2,000 years ago.
Which is actually quite common. Right.
Okay. And, there are some texts written on it. Okay.
Right.
Is it a distortion in the text that is written? No, the text is there.
It is one.
It is one. Now, two people may come and read that text differently.
Right.
Does it mean a distortion has occurred in that text?
Makes sense. Right, no.
No, the text is there.
Right, especially if it's a foreign language one.
Exactly.
An old language you cannot
it
understand.
It is our fault that we are not able to conclude whether this one is the true recitation or reciting of that text or the other one. Now, my point regarding the Quran is that we have the text protected completely. I mean, all the copies of the Quran are the same. So this book is protected by God. Now we, if you may put it this way, we are not, I mean, conclude whether it is Malik or Malik. It is our fault. Although we may not call it a fault because I refer to the roots.
Right.
So the fact is, I mean, the fact that Arabic calligraphy, I mean, was completed, I mean, gradually speaking, stage by stage, vowels were added, dots were added. It doesn't make the Quran distorted. Quran is there. The text right. is the same. Imagine the tablet. The tablet is there. But now we have different ways of reciting that tablet. We have different ways of reciting right. that holy text. I'm talking about the Quran.
Right. So actually, we didn't have different reciters at the start of the revelation.
Of course not.
It was all one.
Of course not.
Right.
So I think if we look at from that first, because some people say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. We have right. revealed the Quran and we are protecting that. So why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't protect the Quran? The answer right. is that the Quran is protected.
It is protected.
That tablet is protected.
Right.
But now the way that we are going to recite, this is, I mean, a problem of us, fallible human beings. And of course, when Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, may Allah hasten his reappearance, will come, he will tell us that which one of them is the most correct one.
And also give us.
Or maybe right. the another answer might be that, okay, when it comes to this verse, two recitations are correct.
Right.
You see what I mean?
Yes.
So my point is that at the end of the day, the Quran in and of itself is free from any kind of distortion.
The yeah. covers.
What we have between the fatain or the covers of the book, which is what is mentioned in the narrations, is what exactly was revealed to the Prophet. Now, because of some reasons, there are differences which do not make, I mean, much difference in the meaning of the Quran.
Right.
But that is a kind of shortcoming when it comes to us as reciters of the Quran.
Right.
But it doesn't change the reality. The reality is that the Quran is completely protected and no change or alteration have occurred regarding the text of the Quran.
Right.
So to kind of, I mean, shed more light on this last answer, which I like it the most. By the way, this is not my answer. I'm taking that from one of the contemporary Shia scholars, Sheikh Muhammad Jawad Lankarani, who is the son of Ayatollah Fadl Lankarani, rahmatullah alayh. I've taken this answer from him, and I found it very interesting and profound. He also further explains that imagine that for one verse of the Quran, like Mutashabahat, the ambiguous verses, we have two ways of interpretation of the Quran. Or not only for the Mutashabahat, for Muhkamat. You know that we have different layers of the meaning of the Quran, right. like two, three interpretations. Does it mean that Quran is distorted because there are different ways of interpreting one verse? No. I mean, the text of the Quran is protected. Now, the way that we understand the Quran might be different. We have two, three right. interpretations, and all of them might be correct. So, the same applies to different ways of reciting the Quran. The text is there. It is mim, lam, kaf.
Right.
It is free from any kind of distortion. Now, one person recites Malik, the other recites it as Malik. But the text is without any distortion, like the verse that has different interpretations. And right. According to some, as the Quran, as one verse can have different interpretations, different recitations can be accepted too. And let me also, share the last point, and that is the fact that we have a famous narration, which I think is from the Prophet, that the Quran was revealed based on سبعة أحرف, seven letters. Now, there are different explanations of this prophetic narration. Some believe that the Holy Prophet meant seventh recitations of the Quran, like we talked about Qurra Sab'a, those famous seven reciters of the Quran. Some believe that this prophetic narration refers to the fact that all those seven recitations are true, and all of them make sense. They do not make, any great change in understanding right. the Quran. But some scholars believe that no, that narration is talking about another issue. which is a separate discussion.
And just one final add-on, for example, in the Surah Al-Fatiha, when we say Malik or Maliki Yawm al-Din, we do not say Malaka or Mulki.
Exactly.
Because it does not fit. So the differences, they are very narrow and precise.
Exactly.
Which still point to the same meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it is, the Quran is protected from corruption. Walhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
And with that, we will have to end this extensive topic and discussion. We thank the dear Sheikh very much for joining us for these sessions and for providing a very, very deep and informative answer. And I also thank the dear listeners. I hope that we have all reaped benefit from this discussion. And until next time, fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي
Food for thought.
Salam, dear listeners, and condolences to you all. Since today, the 7th of Ramadan, is the day when Abu Talib, the primordial Muslim and defender of Islam, and Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, left the world, here is a statement worth pondering upon from his bereaved nephew, the Almighty's last messenger. The Quraysh could not raise a hand against me until my uncle, Abu Talib, died.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. Thank you for joining us here today. Today on The Key, we're going to be looking at a very important and pertinent question, which is related to the blessed month of Ramadan that we're in, which is the month of the Quran, the month of the revelation of the Quran. And it is very pertinent, especially for us human beings who live in this world today. The question is, what does the Quran have to say about health and well-being? Right now we're talking about health and well-being, both from a spiritual and from a physical point of view. what does the Quran have to say about this? And, you know, this is very pertinent for us today because right now we're going through this pandemic and a lot of people are scared. You know, people are turning to this cure, that cure, you know, the vaccine, you know, other kinds of alternative medicines. You know, a lot of time people ask, does the Quran have anything to say about this or health, good health in general or not? Right, so this is something that we want to examine today and see if we can come with any definitive answer regarding this question. Before we begin, you know, examining in detail what the Quran says, in general, we can say that good health and, you know, and being free of diseases has always been one of those concerns of human beings ever since, you know, human beings have been on the face of this earth. And the Quran, the Quranic Kareem, the Noble Quran, it's not a book about health, right? The Quran is a book about guidance. It's about spiritual guidance. It's supposed to lead human beings to their spiritual felicity in this world and in the hereafter. It's a book of salvation for human beings. At the same time, it is nevertheless true that human beings are not just, you know, spirits floating out there, right? We, you know, it's true that, you know, a human being's core, his essence is his spirit. But nevertheless, this spirit is connected to this body, to a body. And the body has an effect on the spirit and vice versa. The spirit has effect on the body, right? So there is no doubt that physical illness, right? It has an effect on our spiritual well-being, right? You know, a lot of the urafa, a lot of the mystics, a lot of the spiritual masters, they have compared the body to a mount, right? To a steed or a horse, which a rider, who being the spiritual wayfarer, uses to, you know, arrive at a certain spiritual position, right? So like this, somebody is riding on a horse, right? And that horse, he wants to get to a certain place. If the horse is sick, obviously he can get there. So these urafa, these mystics, they tell their disciples, their students, you know, they give them specific instructions to take care of their body, to take care of their physical well-being. All right, so this is one matter that we should take into consideration. The Quranic Kareem, the Noble Quran, mentions sickness in many places, in many verses and in many surahs and many of its chapters. It refers to it by words such as suqum or saqim, zarar, right, or marla, right? These are Arabic words and terms that the Quran uses and references to physical health, physical illness and maladies, right? So the Quran does pay importance to this, and it's not that the Quran has nothing to say about this, even though it's not its main concern, and it uses it as a stepping stone to spiritual well-being. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at what the Quran has to say about spiritual wellness and physical wellness. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
News, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
A new selfie museum in Sweden is flipping the script by making visitors both the artist and the exhibit. The establishment is dubbed the Museum and is in a shopping mall in Stockholm. Unlike other selfie museums, this one has no works of art on its walls. Instead, its brightly decorated rooms are meant to serve as fun backgrounds for visitors to take their selfies or shoot videos in. Other rooms let the visitors bury themselves in candy-colored foam bricks, strike a pose under neon lights, or sit on a huge colorful swing. The manager says the museum is interactive and lets the visitors be the artists themselves in order to create the art they want to see. The Drone Show Korea 2022 has been held at the Busan Exhibition and Convention Center, BEXCO. It featured 137 companies and 533 booths, making this year's incarnation the largest in the show's six-year history. The event also featured the participation of a large international industry representatives from Japan and Western Europe. A highlight of this year's event was military technology centered around the unveiling of new indigenous UAVs. This year's show marked a long-endurance liquid hydrogen drone produced by a South Korean company. These developments reflect South Korea's attempt to improve resilience and revolutionize its approach to warfare. The event puts on display the importance of drone industry in various spheres, including defense purposes. More than 163 wildlife species have been released back into lagoons and forests in Colombia's Casanare province after being seized and rehabilitated by authorities fighting wildlife trafficking. These include 15 different species such as anteaters, turtles, macaws, a toucan, and a leopard. They were nurtured back to health by fauna vets from an environmental authority in charge of managing sustainable development. The authority, Corporinoquia, released more than 1,200 animals back into the wild in 2021 alone. Colombia is one of the world's most biodiverse countries by square kilometer and is home to some 10% of the world's flora and fauna.
A super rare birth has added a cute member to critically endangered Sumatran rhinos of Indonesia. The newborn calf is the sixth born since intensive efforts to breed the species began in the 1980s. The female calf, which doesn't have a name yet, was given birth to by a rhino named Rosa in a sanctuary. Rosa has suffered 8 miscarriages since 2005 when she was brought in from the wild for a breeding program. Fewer than 80 Sumatran rhinos remain in the world, mainly on the Indonesian islands of Sumatra and Borneo. Excessive poaching along with other threats has brought the species to the brink of extinction.
with neon lights on the floor and walls, pulsing electronic beats, and a glowing red shuttlecock bouncing back and forth, Malaysian badminton court evokes a sci-fi movie set. Shuttle in the Dark is a badminton hall in the iconic Petronas Twin Towers in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. It was set up in late 2021 by a sport management company to encourage people to take up the racket sport after 2 years of social restrictions because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Director of INIC Sport Management says the initial goal was to draw sports fans and players back into action.
Our initial goal was, how can we encourage and gain back the interest of people to come back and play? And not only those enthusiasts, but then as well the new people who was not able to or never play badminton before. So that's why we come out with this experience called Shuttle in the Dark.
Playing on a futuristic court presents an unusual challenge for athletes as they have to adjust their eyes to the darkness to fly. Badminton is one of the most popular sports in Malaysia and Asia, with a thriving community in the Southeast Asian community. It has produced some of the world's top-ranked players.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A zoo in Ireland's capital, Dublin, has unveiled its newest habitat called the Himalayan Hills, a brand new home of the red panda and snow leopard. Visitors are able to see the red panda's habitat by traveling along the new trail around a rocky edge to an open viewing area. The red pandas are typically climbing, exploring, or munching on bamboo at the top of broad-leafed evergreen trees. The expanded habitat was designed with a red panda's tree-dwelling lifestyle in mind. Also, visitors can gaze up at the 15-meter rocky slope through an impressive panoramic viewing area to spot the snow leopards. These elusive felines are typically nocturnal, so catching a glimpse of one is a rare treat.
Yeah, the animals are settling in well. We've tried to recreate the wild habitat in the Himalayan hills. Both species live quite high up, in case of the snow leopards, up to 5,000 meters on these very steep rocky slopes, which you can see here in the habitat as well. We've tried to use the topology of Dublin Zoo.
The project took a few years to complete. It was halted in 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic and massive budget shortages, but was restarted after government funding in 2021. The zoo is part of a protection project for red pandas and snow leopards. These animals are listed as vulnerable due to threats from poaching and severe habitat loss. Ancient Pompeii has a new guardian, Spot, a four-legged robot dog that will inspect the ancient Italian city's streets and tunnels to identify structural issues. The robot, designed by the U.S. firm Boston Dynamics, will patrol Pompeii at nighttime. The robot inspects the smallest of spaces and gathers data for planning interventions to fix safety and structural issues. Equipped with a 360-degree camera, Spot will also protect the city's streets from illegal relic hunters who cause structural damage to the ruins by digging tunnels. Pompeii will also have its own eye in the sky. A Leica BLK-2 flying laser scanner capable of autonomously conducting 3D scans of the ruins, helping Spot carry out its tasks. Safeguarding ancient sites from treasure hunters has always been a problem for every country, especially the ancient ones.
cherry blossom or sakura season in the Japanese capital is a magical experience as trees burst into bloom, dousing the streets with stunning shades of pink. This year, people are enjoying the occasion to the fullest as COVID restrictions are no more there. Thousands gathered in central Tokyo wearing masks, taking pictures and posing for selfies among the trees. Cherry flowers reach full bloom on Sunday, 4 days earlier than usual, according to the Japan Meteorological Agency. The age-old tradition of viewing cherry blossoms typically takes place across the country. The flowers are a national obsession. People flock to parks to hold parties and picnics. However, due to the pandemic, authorities have asked people to refrain from eating and drinking outdoors.
An ancient place in Guatemala with special significance for the Mayan culture could be the next entry on the World Heritage List. The historic village known today as the Takalik Abaj Archaeological Park was occupied for 1700 years before it was abandoned and discovered in 1888. It's said to have been home to a pre-Hispanic people. Archaeologists found their way to this mysterious piece of land where they found a series of exotic artifacts and sculptures back in 2008. Guatemala's Minister of Cultural Heritage says this site has a sacred place in the nation's culture.
Takalik Abaj is a sacred place with important links to Guatemala's culture. It's a place that harbors flora and fauna biodiversity and even minor spirituality and war is wild. This makes this place highly important within the Mayan culture in Guatemala.
Archaeologists believe the monuments go back to the deep-rooted civilizations of Olmec and Maya in a Central American culture around 400 BC. The government has presented the site to UNESCO, hoping it will be declared a World Heritage Site. A Belgian-British teenager is on a solo flight around the globe that could make him a world record holder. Mark Rutherford started his journey from a small airfield near the Bulgarian capital Sofia on Wednesday. His first destination is the island of Sicily in Italy. From there, he'll fly south to Africa and then around the globe to cross the finish line again in Bulgaria. The 16-year-old pilot says he got his inspiration from his sister.
Egypt's rich history seems to be a gift that keeps on giving. The country has unveiled some exquisite newly discovered tombs. The pharaonic tombs were found at the Saqqara archaeological site south of Cairo. The site is a big necropolis of Memphis, an ancient capital of Egypt. The graves belonged to a senior royal official, or rather senior royal officials. Some of the graves are engraved with interesting titles such as Steward of the Royal House and Supervisor of the Garden. The tombs are around 4,000 years old, dating back to the Old Kingdom of Egypt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salaamu Alaikum. Welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about the benefits of fasting.
ولد الهلال المبتغى الصوم أوشك يبتدي
رمضان يا ضيف الورى قد زرتنا في الموعد كنا على جمر الغضا من واله ومفند رمضان يا ضيفا أتى يجلو لنا القلب الصدي.
Today, Saturday, the 7th of the month of Ramadan, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 20th of the month of Farvardin, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 9th of April, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment by recitation of chapter Ar-Rahman, verse 6 to 11 from the Holy Quran. We'll listen to it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Was-samaa'a rafa'aha wa wada'al mizan.
And the heaven he raised and imposed the balance.
Alla tatghaw fil mizan.
That you not transgress within the balance.
Wa aqimul wazna bil qist wa la tukhsirul mizan.
And establish weight in justice and do not make deficient the balance.
Wal arda wada'aha lil anam.
And the earth he laid out for the creatures.
فيها فاكهة والنخل ذات الأكمام.
Therein is fruit and palm trees having sheaths of dates.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The earth, which is mentioned herein as a remarkable divine blessing, is mentioned in other Quranic verses as cradle, serves as a secure and serene abode whose significance may not be normally perceived by most of us, but an earthquake disturbs everything and volcanic eruption may bury a city beneath. Such phenomena indicate that the serene earth is such a great blessing, particularly if we reflect upon what scientists say, considering the velocity of the earth's rotation on its axis and its circling around the sun. The significance of such serenity, despite staggering velocity, it is further clarified that it entails different types of motion.
أشهر الرحمن فيك أنزل القرآن.
Dear brothers and sisters, we are in the blessed month of Ramadan, the month of Allah. Ramadan is a gift from Allah. Ramadan is the month of forgiveness, the month of countless blessings, the month in which Laylatul Qadr resides and so much more. Taking into account all of the attributes associated with the holy month of Ramadan, it is quite simply a gift from Allah. It is a gift that keeps on giving. Ramadan is the month of fasting.
During Ramadan, Muslims fast for a month for the time of the dawn prayer to sunset and spend most of their time in prayer and meditation. Fasting itself teaches many things, obedience and dedication for one, as Muslims around the world undertake fasting as commanded by Allah. It also teaches restraint and control, because in the state of fasting, Muslims shun the basic pleasures of life, such as food, water, and so on, and devote themselves purely to worshiping Allah. It is ideal training in showing restraint in order to become good human beings and better Muslims. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The month Ramadan is regarded as the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the divine month. Earlier it has been indicated that the whole universe is the divine creation. However, according to the 8th infallible Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam, who quoted from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the authority of his father, grandfather and ancestors reaching the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated that the month Ramadan is regarded as the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the divine month. In connection with this, the month Rajab is regarded as the month of Velayat, that is the month of befriending Imam Ali alayhi salam and believing in the principle of imamate. And the month Ramadan is regarded as the month of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the month of divinely determined prophethood. So we find that the month Ramadan is regarded as the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if you look at the month Ramadan from this perspective, we find that the month Rajab is the month of imamate, the month Sha'ban is the month of prophethood, and the month Ramadan is the culmination and the apex of this line, is regarded as the month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this month, everybody is expected to be deeply concerned with observing religious piety. And one of the important aspects of this month is that the month Ramadan, I mean the word Ramadan, is regarded as one of the designations and names of, or one of the various names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, Islamic authorities indicated that if someone observes the month Ramadan, I mean fasts throughout the month Ramadan, however, they haven't reached the spiritual upbringing intended in the month Ramadan to be attended to, they haven't reached the intended perfection. Please note carefully that the month of Ramadan is like, for example, a container which is full of the divine grace. It isn't important to approach this divine grace. What's important is, I mean, reaching and achieving this divine grace and benefiting from it. So throughout the month of Ramadan, everybody is expected to be able to reach the month of Ramadan and to benefit from its abundant spiritual grace.
Ramadan, ya Ramadan, ya nafhata ar-Rahman. رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران رمضان يا رمضان يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران.
You are with today's special from IRIB English Radio, and now we'll look at time to remember Allah much. Ramadan is a season when Allah is remembered often and prayers are said in abundance. Believers who fast throughout Ramadan pass their nights and days remembering Allah. They remember Allah both with their behavior and actions and with their mouth and tongues, and they rest their hearts and souls. They also open their hands and hearts to their Lord in order to ask both their needs in the world and their expectations about the hereafter. They know that this month is a peaceful month in which wishes are fulfilled, needs are cared for, and expectations are answered. At the same time, they try to carry out different types of remembrance at different times and places. What can we learn more about the month of Ramadan, the blessed month of Ramadan? The month of Ramadan is a blessed month that Allah has provided us. Although it is a month where we can utilize it for good deeds like fasting, charity, and some people claim that good deeds are multiplied in Ramadan. Ramadan is indeed a blessed month. In this blessed month, Allah has commanded us to fast during the month of Ramadan. We should obey Allah and we should fast obediently as Allah commanded us to do so and without any cheating, as cheating is an insolence behavior. The Prophet said that your Lord said every sinful deed can be expiated and the fast is for me, so I will give the reward for it. We should make use of this blessed month that Allah has provided us, and we ask Allah to grant this Ramadan a month where Allah is pleased with us. Amen.
Before going into the ibadah, you need to understand who you're praying to. Before fasting, you need to understand who you're fasting to. What's the purpose of this? In a hadith from Imam al-Hasan al-Askari alayhi salam, he says, لَيْسَتِ الْعِبَادَةِ بِكَثْرَةِ الصَّلَاةِ وَالصِّيَامِ وَإِنَّمَا الْعِبَادَةِ بِكَثْرَةِ التَّفَكُّرِ فِي أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. He says, ibadah is not the quantity of how much you fast and how much you pray. Allah does not judge you by the quantity of your worship. And then he says, إِنَّمَا الْعِبَادَةِ. No, indeed, ibadah is how much you think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibadah is where you have Allah in your mind, in your life. This is the ibadah. This is the whole purpose of ibadah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah says in another verse, O you people who believe, fasting has become obligatory upon you, just as it has become obligatory upon people before you. Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you reach the state of God consciousness.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Keep and remember us too in your prayers and worshiping. Thank you very much and fi amanillah.
والغفران ومجالسة القرآن ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان
الغفران ومجالسة القرآن.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.